Well, I appreciate being able to present today in this session, and I would like to acknowledge my co-author, Ulrike Grittner, who's my colleague in Berlin and my statistician. What I'm presenting today is a comparison of two national surveys of the Danish general population. The first was conducted in 2003 and the second in 2011. Somehow, being a Dane, I'm not actually a Dane, but living in Denmark, I did not have to answer that slide about disclosure, it looks like. I bypassed that. This is the first. No, I don't. No. This is all ministerial money that was used for these surveys. For the second one. The survey conducted in 2011 could be regarded as the first national drug and alcohol survey in Denmark along the lines of what the ARG does in the U.S. for alcohol, and we included extensive questions on both alcohol use and drugs. In previous years, public health agencies have done health status surveys, and there have been more limited surveys of just alcohol use, but this is the first to look at alcohol and drug use together. And one of the advantages of this 2011 survey is that the alcohol questions are very similar, if not the same, as those used in the 2003 survey. Just to back up a second, give you a little bit of background. This is, I think I can add the liter there, the bottle that is supposed to represent a liter. This is what per capita alcohol consumption looks like in Denmark. So quite a bit higher than you find here in the U.S. And you can see that there has been a decrease since the year 2000. The purpose of this study is to present new prevalence data for alcohol use and problems and to investigate possible changes over time, over these 8 years since the 2003 survey. Well, the first survey was, as I say, conducted in 2003. It had a sample of a little over 2,000 respondents, and it was a telephone survey exclusively with a cooperation rate of 50%. It was conducted by a marketing firm. And this is the second survey. It had a larger sample. And here we're kind of tying in the first presentation and the last now. What we did was, it was conducted by Statistics Denmark, and their approach is to use web-based questionnaires as much as possible. So everyone, there's a different system in Denmark where we all have something like a social security number, which is all sorts of information is associated with this number, and there are various registries within Denmark. So with this personal identification number, Statistics Denmark selected the sample, and what we could then do, or what they could then do, was send out a letter through the postal Danish Postal Service to the persons in the sample, inviting them to go on the internet and answer the questionnaire. And if they hadn't responded within 10 days, then they were called and an telephone interview was conducted with an interviewer. So that raised the response rate. As you can see, what we had in 2003 was rather low. This is still fairly low, but these are measures that are being taken to increase the response rate. And this is the true response rate. This is not a cooperation rate. So actually, the cooperation rate would be higher. These are probably variables, measures that you're familiar with. We are looking at the percentage of the sample who would be considered current drinkers if they had drunk any alcohol within the past year. And heavy drinking we set at 10 grams for women per day and 20 for men of pure alcohol. RSOD is basically binge drinking in the more informal jargon. We also looked at quantity per drinking day as a measure of volume, and then some audit problem items, and then you can see the control variables that we used. And we just calculated basic prevalences and then ran some multivariate linear and logistic regressions, and we looked at risk curves for the younger age group in our samples. So this is what has happened between 2003 and 2011. What you can compare directly, and do I have a pointer of some sort here?
You can use the cursor.
And is that on the, there. What you could compare directly are the blue and the darker green columns, because those are the administration mode is the same, telephone. And then this is, you see what we're getting with the web is quite an increase in reported alcohol behaviors in all variables that we have asked. So, however, in general, there has been a decrease in current drinking status between the two waves, also in heavy drinking, and I'll show you with the multiple regressions that there we take into account both of the administration modes. There has been a drop in heavy drinking, but there has not been a drop in RSOD. That has increased in between the two waves. Here we see the results of a multiple logistic regression where the typical sociodemographic predictors are here significant again. Marital status and having children being protective for heavy drinking. And with the two age variables, you see that it's usually it's the younger and the middle-aged persons who are drinking the most heavily among men, and more and just the younger. Well, there is no age association for women. And here, employment status is only significant for women. Educational level is significant for both, showing that the higher educated are more likely to drink heavily, and those with higher income among men. But here you see with the introduction of the survey year, there has been a reduction in heavy drinking from the two waves. However, with administration mode, you see a clear mode effect where those answering on the web were much more likely to report heavy drinking. And then we found a one interaction of age and children. Those who were of older age and had children were more likely to be heavy drinkers. Here is RSOD, and in order to save time, I won't go through all of the variables here, but you can see that in the survey year, for survey year, there was no survey year effect. So there was no change between 2003 and 2011 in the prevalence of RSOD. But there was a mode effect only for women in this case. And again, this interaction of age and children showed up again. Quickly, I just want to show you quantity per drinking day. It's hard to see what is significant here. There were, in an earlier version of this, we had starred the significant results, but I thought that made the graph too busy. But in general, quantity per drinking day has increased across these two samples. Now we move to the audit problems, and this is very interesting, I find, is that all in all, taking the administration mode into account, there has been an increase in the reporting of audit problems for both men and women and basically all age groups. And here we look at the multiple regression or the logistic regression results. So here we're controlling for a number of sociodemographic factors, and we can see a very clear increase. However, only now we see only for women for the year, and a clear increase by administration mode for men. Then let's make sure I haven't skipped any. So we thought we should look more closely at the young people, young Danes, because they are famous for their binge drinking. They're world famous. They're at the top of all these various league tables, and in the ESPAD study and the HBSC study, they are always number one. And here we thought we would compare the two survey waves and control for drinking volume so that we could say here for young men that at the same amount of alcohol consumed, the reporting of audit problems has increased incredibly over the last 8 years. What we're doing now in our latest version of the draft paper we're working on is to calculate confidence intervals for these points on the graph. And we see the same here for women, and it's even more dramatic. So, the interesting thing about this is that given the same amount of alcohol consumed, these young women in 2011 are reporting, many more of them are reporting alcohol-related problems. So to sum up, current drinking has decreased slightly between the two survey waves. Heavy drinking has decreased. RSOD has remained basically stable across the entire samples of both waves. Problem prevalence has increased rather dramatically among women. And then with the risk curves, we saw definitely, and especially for women, an increase in the reporting of problems at the same amounts being consumed. And there is a very strong mode effect that we're seeing for some measures. So as far as a discussion is concerned, these kinds of paradoxical trends of a reduction in consumption together with an increase in reported problems seems paradoxical, but the same thing occurred in the U.S. in, I think, the early 90s. Lorraine Medanek and her colleagues reported on that. I think maybe, Tom, you were on that article in AJPH. And similar trends have begun to appear in Europe right now. There are some papers out detecting the same trend in Geneva and in an area in France, and now in Denmark. So some of the explanations could be that the problem measures are actually getting at different social norms with the passage of time, that now younger people have more guilt feelings towards drinking than they did in 2003. There's a change in sensibility towards problems, perhaps only for women. Norms perhaps have changed. We've seen that definitely with regard to tobacco. In Denmark, when I first moved to the country in 2001, there was smoking everywhere, in the trains, in restaurants, and now it's banned in all public places. It's been a dramatic change over a 10-year period. And a lot of that had to do with EU policies. There could be some sort of, this is not really an explanation, but there could be some sort of polarization occurring, especially amongst the young drinkers. We've seen that happening in Sweden. So what we would like to do in the future is to look more closely at the consumption distribution and also look at registry data to see if we can find some more validation for this phenomenon. And of course, we are planning a methodological paper on the mode effect, and maybe that's a good topic to get some collaboration on from my ARG colleagues while I'm visiting you. So thank you for your attention.
I would like to ask a question that may be relevant, which is, in terms of the different modes, it's not randomized, as I understand it. They first try to get them by the web, and if they don't, they get them by the telephone. Right. So I'm wondering how the, and that's Health Denmark or some agency.
Statistics Denmark. They are in charge of all of the registries and all of the statistics.
So my question is how they put those together. What in their other surveys that they do, et cetera, what's their approach? Because in this country, as I mentioned, we have this NHIS that attempts to disentangle who's a cell phone and who's a landline person. How does Statistics Denmark try to get an estimate that's combining these two samples?
Well, I haven't asked them that yet. Maybe that's what I need to do. I mean, they just have delivered us the data, and then we've been sorting through it. And this is our first main paper. So that is a good question that I should ask them, how they handle that in their reports. Yeah.
Other questions?
Yeah. Is drinking down among young men as well as men in general?
Yes. Yeah. I think I have that. I can, in the paper, I have a table. And I don't have it by age here. But yes, it is in the ESPAD and also in these other surveys, the ESPAD and the HBSC surveys that look at 15 to, it goes from 13 to 17 year olds, the two
centers. Other questions in general, or more questions for Dr. Bloomfield?
Or for any of the papers?
Well, it's not Dr.